You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Good evening.
Good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world, really.
We never know what to say, do we? Because it can be whatever time, wherever you're listening to this in the world.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning.
Yes. Hello to all.
Yes. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the HIV Hour. How is everybody today?
I'm feeling rather sunny today. I know it's quite nice. The last few days is quite nice. And I think, oh, I've got too many clothes on. And I thought, well, I can't take any.
Here we go again.
But it's so beautiful out there. I think I'm going to have to derail the clothes after this. I thought, why have I got all these sweatshirts on? It's so warm out there. Which does put a smile on your face. But it's put a smile on my face today. So, yes. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, I'm all right. So I've had a chest infection. So I've been coughing my guts up for the last couple of days, but on antibiotics now. So starting to feel more human. But yeah, it was nice to have a bit of time to just to sit and watch the television and, drink hot soup. And so that's what I've been doing really for the last week.
You're on the mend, are you?
On the mend. Yeah. What about you, Josh?
What's going on? I'm all right, not too bad. Just working, doing work at Radio Reverb and behind the scenes, a bit tech issues. Mm-hmm. And my house move is going on slowly because I'm just waiting to complete. So it's just all that kind of waiting around, which can take a while, but fingers crossed it won't take too long. I'm kind of wanting to move on now because, it's been a while. And just to start a new chapter, really, I think. Everything's there. Everything else is fine. Mm-hmm. Yes. No Tony or Tanya today. Is Tanya
no, Tanya sort of couldn't get out of her lesson today. So she sends her apologies and she'll be back on the show next week.
Oh, good, yes. Good.
So what's on the show? We're doing a bit of, we're doing stories today, aren't we?
We are. You've done a lovely interview, haven't you, Stephen?
Yeah, I've done something that's obviously really important at the moment. It's a little interview with Dan Glass, who is one of the people that helped him put together a collection of HIV meds and PrEP for the Ukraine. Because obviously, I think we talked about it in the last show, just the not being able to get our meds it must be so, as well as war going on, it must be so, so scary. So so what Dan and the team at the LGBTQ Association are doing is that they're just trying to, bring together any unused meds. That's what we were talking about.
There's an estimated 260,000 people living with HIV in Ukraine, so it's really important that I think there's quite a lot of initiatives going on, projects and like that.
Yes,
I think.
Which is good. Everyone's literally, not just from the HIV community, from all anyone that's humane is coming together, basically. Everyone is coming together, and so rightly so. We just got to do what we can do. And I'm thinking about everybody over there. So, yes.
Yeah. So the interview is going to be played towards the end of the show, right? Just for community news. So, it's a good interview, actually. It's an important one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got stories, haven't we? So what are you doing, Sue? What story are you doing?
Well, something just hot off the press, as one would say. Moderna begins clinical trial of HIV vaccine developed using same mRNA technology used as base of the COVID-19 jab. So basically, Moderna has injected the first participant for phase one clinical trials of the mRNA-based HIV vaccine. And as a HIV vaccine, as long as it's been sought after by experts, this jab has proven successful and could help eradicate the devastating virus.
So my story is, again, is connected to Ukraine and Russia, and it's about a doctor who refused to give treatment to a Russian patient. So it's only a short, yeah, it's only a short story, but it's really important, you know. So we'll get back to that one in a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
What's yours, Josh?
Mine's just a UK one. It's a HIV support group, which has been inspired by It's a Sin. So it's just they've created a group to help people with HIV and a counselling service up in Runcorn. So we'll just talk about that.
Brilliant.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Now, Moderna begins clinical trials of HIV vaccine developed using the same mRNA technology used as a base of the COVID-19 jab. So Moderna has injected the first participant for its phase one clinical trial of its mRNA-based HIV vaccine. Now, a HIV vaccine has long been sought after by experts, and this jab has proven successful and could help eradicate the devastating virus. Now, Moderna is making heavy investments into the mRNA vaccine technology after the success of the COVID-19 vaccine. And I don't know what you guys are thinking, but I'm thinking this has happened pretty quickly. Hey, I'm not moaning because it's really good news, but am I being sensitive here, Josh, Steve? I don't know. Do you understand what all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Got this,
interesting is that how this has just come so quickly, and why hasn't this been looked into?
I know. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, all good news and new news is good, but I don't know. You know, it's just something. Yeah, but COVID could be the result of lots of different things now are happening. But But apparently, the company is projecting a $19 billion in the vaccine sales this year after earning $17 billion selling the shots in 2021. So is it money? I don't know. So Moderna has begun phase one clinical trials of the HIV vaccine that uses the same technology made from the famous, calling it famous, made famous by COVID-19 vaccines. Now, the company is hoping to parlay the massive success of its COVID-19 vaccine into more products. So that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, there currently is no available vaccine for HIV, and while there are effective treatments, as we're all aware of, it can be the virus under control and prevent the infection being developed in AIDS and being passed on to other people. So the RNA often refers to mRNA, what was an unutilized technology for decades before the rise to prominence with German-based biotech and Moderna. Both used it, developed the breakthrough COVID-19 vaccines in 2020. So basically, this new, supposedly, vaccine going to trial has come from, what we've seen and what has emerged from the COVID-19. So I suppose we have to, I'm thinking, take that as a positive and keep this sort of, you know, whatever we're thinking and feeling, why shouldn't have been done, which, yeah, should have been. But it's all good news in some respect, isn't it? That's the new things are happening.
Yeah. I mean, it's great, isn't it? Yeah. What do you think, Stephen?
Yeah, it's great that there's progress. It's great that, you know, but I know what you mean. So it's kind of like, oh, you know, it's one of those things, isn't it, that you're just like, it's great that we see things happening and see, you know, but obviously it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if they just turned around and said, we're going to do it and donate all the proceeds to HIV or to cancer or to, you know, any step forwards hopefully are good ones.
And just finishing on that piece, Moderna plans to enroll 100 HIV negative people ages from 18 to 55 for the study. The first phase will determine dosage for the jab and whether a person will respond well to it. So that's the sort of criteria they're going to be doing the study on. So, right, okay, no doubt we'll have some updates on that in the coming months and years. Yeah, what have you. So, yeah.
And there were so many different companies doing the corona vaccines, weren't there? So you never know what's going to come out from them either. So,
exactly.
From one of the other ones. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about yourself, Stephen? What's your story?
So my story, it's only a short story, Josh, but it's a very important one. And obviously, with everything that's going on in the world, a doctor in Switzerland has refused to treat a homosexual man, a homosexual Russian man living with HIV over Vladimir Putin's invasion of the Ukraine. Now, the doctor has not been named, but he reportedly works at the Hirschland Clinic in Zurich, Switzerland, and they confirmed that an unnamed doctor has decided not to treat people from Russia. The Russian man, who has not been named, is said to be 50. He is reportedly not welcome in Russia due to his HIV status and due to the fact that he's a homosexual, as Russia has very homophobic laws in place currently. The Swiss media report that the Russian man has been receiving treatment in Switzerland for over 5 years so that he can avoid being listed on the Russian National Health Database as somebody living with HIV. This week, the Russian man reportedly asked the doctor for an appointment for his prescription to be renewed, and reportedly, as he has reportedly done on a regular basis. But the doctor reportedly refused to treat him beyond his latest appointment, and he's now been told to find a new doctor. Modern HIV therapy is reportedly not available in Moscow, according to Swiss media, and neither are the best drugs to fight the virus. For personal reasons, a valued partner doctor has decided not to treat any patients from Russia during the ongoing war, regardless of the case mentioned, a spokeswoman from the clinic told social media. But the spokesperson added that the doctor would obviously treat patients in acute health danger and regardless of origin, gender, and nationality. So it's just another, you know, another way to shine stigma on HIV, and another way how war is, you know, it's being used in a really cruel and unkind way. You know, when people are HIV positive and they're trying to stay healthy and trying to stay undetectable, you know, and things like this are happening. It's really scary, isn't it?
It'd be interesting to have someone on the show from Russia, actually, just to see who has HIV, who's affected.
I'm working on that at the moment, Josh. I'm in talks with people, so hopefully we'll be able to get somebody on. So
yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think it would be important to get more of an idea of what it is to one. To be HIV positive, but also to be LGBTQ. You know. You know, it must be so scary to not be able to be who you are. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's good to just keep them stories coming out there, really.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say, Sue?
No, I think just something very similar to you. Yeah. So, no, I was just thinking, you know, no doubt we're going to be hearing very similar stories, perhaps not just the HIV, but other health conditions. People are going to be refused because of certain
things. Yes.
Yeah, so not that I'm wishing it, but goodness me, you know. Yeah, you mentioned war. Yeah, you know, horrific things. If you go back into the decades and the centuries, the atrocities that happened because of war. So, yeah, so no, interesting story.
Sorry, say it again. It brings out the worst and the best in people,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, very true.
So you see the extremes of humanity.
Yeah. And I suppose that's what my story with Dan, you know, is about people just trying to make something good from something bad, you know. So it does, it shines a light on people's, the wonderful people, you know, how wonderful people can be as a community, but also how damaging it can be as well, you know, when war is involved. So yeah.
So my story is it's a UK story. So It's a Sin inspires a woman to set up an HIV support group and tackle stigma. So Hayley Smith is her name, who's a group founder, and she said, with the condition, we still endure misinformed stigma. The lingering stigma faced by people living with HIV, and the hit series It's a Sin inspires a group of her friends to launch a support group and counselling service in Runcorn. So Hayley Smith, 49, said Channel 4's It's a Sin 2021's miniseries created rekindled memories of the myths surrounding the virus when she was growing up in the 80s and the Tombstone public information campaign. But despite it being more than 40 years since the first reported case of AIDS was officially recorded, Hayley said she was shocked to learn the myths and stigma around the disease still exists. So she's from Runcorn. So the company is the Northwest HIV Support Community Interest Company. And it's formed and will hold its official launch in Runcorn on April the 11th. The hub will host services such as signposting for medical care with access sexual health clinic, counselling, tea coffee, meditation and crafting sessions. Hayley has formed the group with friends and sisters Stacey and Becca Dupre and Natalie Clouton. Hayley said that the myths and stigma persist around HIV, and that's particularly outside larger cities, and that she even struggled to find businesses willing to support like the raffle. So, and she's noticed that some of her friends have drifted away, even though she's not HIV, which is, it's interesting, like, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Well, you know, she's just setting up a support service for HIV, but people seem to want to drift. I've pulled her back from her. So it just shows that the stigma's still alive.
Yeah, very much so.
Gosh. Yeah. You know, that's like, and so, you know, people get stigmatized for association. So association stigmatization, isn't it? I mean, God, what the heck's all that about, you know? But yeah, exactly. But good on her for, you know, for wanting to do that, and that's really great.
Yeah, definitely.
You wonder, don't you, is the whole It's a Sin bubble, is it starting to disperse now, you know? Because I think it's wonderful what It's a Sin did, but you know, is it starting to fade out now, where people are like, oh, HIV is something in the past again, you know, whereas It's a Sin brought it back into, you know, into our everyday lives, didn't it, you know? So yeah, but she's doing a great job.
It sounds awful that people move on to the next thing, don't they?
Yeah,
it's like, and that's like, as I say, it's not in the public image view, so it's just gets left down. She said, amongst the misunderstandings she found around HIV is that it's limited to or mainly something affecting gay men, which we've talked about on the show. Mm-hmm. And she has encountered hypocrisy among people who have casual unprotected heterosexual sex or are judgmental about HIV, This is despite the UK Health Security Agency reporting recently that the rates of diagnosis among straight people have overtaken gay and bisexual men. Again, which we've talked about on the show.
We have.
Yeah, that's it, really. I think it's just, it's good to still have these coming up, isn't it? And still supporting.
And what are the things you said there, Stephen? Are people forgetting since it's a sin? Well, you know, that's one of the things what we're doing on the HIV. We're making sure we continue those conversations, don't we, guys? You know, because, I get what you're saying. And it's the continuation of what this amazing lady's doing and everybody else that's helping us sort of, you know, get end of the stigma and,
And there's the misunderstandings about being tested and the willing to be tested. She added that some risk groups, they include women in their late 50s or 60s who have, they may have lost their husband or got divorced, but are still sexually active.
Yeah.
But feel that they don't need protective contraception. So it's kind of keeping those, keeping that information out there, isn't it, for people? So, that was me.
Well, I think we've spoken about this before. I think because of the, you know, we are living a lot longer, regardless of illnesses and things that we're, we are, you know, a human being is now living longer. We're working longer, we're playing longer. And guess what, everybody? We're having sex longer in life. I know when I say that, people are horrified when I talk about that. But that is the reality. And you know what? The stats that are coming in now proves that. Higher stats in over 50s being diagnosed, not just with HIV, with STIs. So that means, you know, what you just said, which actually happened to me, 47. I didn't think I needed to protect myself because I wasn't going to get pregnant. And I thought STIs were for the younger generation. That was a misconception. And I knew back then, I surely cannot be the only one. But that just goes to prove, you know, we need a new sex education policy.
But also, it's about, we've just been in a pandemic where we had to isolate, and now we're slowly coming out of it, and people are going to start to interact more sexually, you know, so we'll, do you think things will start to rise, maybe, infection, you know, more STIs, more, you know?
I wondered that as well, Josh, the HIV infections, is there going to be a sudden spike, you know, because people are back, going back to normal life again, you know,
I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, or kind of towards the beginning of it, there was this thing saying that HIV had reduced because of the pandemic. Now it'd be interesting to see what happens now. Well,
yes.
Whether it's gonna increase. So just, it's called the Northwest HIV Support CIC, and that's based in Runcorn. So that's online, and they've got their own website. So if you just put Northwest HIV Support in Twitter and Facebook. So if you're around the area and you need support, it starts in April. So. Just a bit of a break from the norm.
Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. Okay, so welcome back, everybody, to Radio Reverb, to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM. I now have my interview with the wonderful Dan Glass. So now I have a guest who I've known for a number of years, and he does so many different things. His name is Dan Glass, and Dan is a writer and a performer and an activist and so many other things. But Dan is also involved in a collection at the moment, which is really, really important. And I'm going to hand over to you, Dan, just to tell us what you do and what is going on at the moment with the collection.
Oh, it's so good to hear from you, Stephen. It's quite simple, really. It's we have a bucket, and it's to collect as many antiretroviral medications and PrEP as possible to send to friends in Poland who can send to HIV positive people and people who need PrEP in Ukraine and in Poland at the moment because of the war / what's being called a genocidal act that's going on and terrorist act that's going on with the recent bombing of the hospital in Ukraine. And, you know, it can be so overwhelming what's going on at the moment, watching the news. And for me, I really was just like, I don't know, you have to kind of work with what you have and what you know, so you don't get overwhelmed. And as a HIV activist, particularly with ACT UP, which stands for AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, with the London crew, this is one of the major things that we think that we can do. And it was in response to a call out from some Polish friends who are really working on the front line at the borders, and sending collections of medication to those in Ukraine. So we're just collecting as many as we can from the incredible London LGBT Community Centre in Blackfriars. The bucket's on the front desk, and our first collection will be a week on Friday, the 25th, I think it is, but we'll probably keep it there because it's going to be ongoing, because unfortunately the situation doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon.
Yeah, and Dan, it's people's HIV meds that they're not using, isn't it? So if they've changed their medication, or if they have medication left over and things like that.
Both antiretrovirals and PrEP.
And PrEP as well. So that's that you know, because I hadn't realised that it was PrEP as well, but I suppose it is important to also be for people that have been on PrEP, for them to be able to continue.
Exactly. You know, war doesn't stop people having sex. So we need to be like supporting people wholeheartedly with everything, with all the basic medications that we need. And you know, for me, it's always a reminder with ACT UP and with an incredible, being so lucky to be part of the HIV activist community, is that, you know, it's about healthcare for all. It's about medication for all. So we've got to do what we can to support our community to get that access to healthcare wherever they are in need across the world.
Yeah, and we've talked about it on the show, Dan, you know, about how scary it is. Just, you know, if we ever thought about the times where we could not access treatment and not access this treatment that allows us to stay healthy and stay undetectable, you know, so we can only imagine, you know, the horror and the fear that is being endured by people over in the Ukraine, you know, at the moment. It must just be awful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a few thoughts which come into my head. Like, on top of your house getting bombed, you're dealing with an HIV diagnosis and you've got no access to support, you know. It's working on both fronts. And I think the thing that's really part of my mind at the moment, and maybe the edit will be out in time for a demo. I've just been busy organising this morning a flash mob demo this Thursday at the Kinder Transport statue on the right side of Liverpool Street Station. And for people who don't know, the Kinder Transport statue is in commemoration and in tribute to the children, the evacuees from World War II who came to London, which a lot of my Jewish family were part of. And this Conservative government, with their response to supporting evacuees coming in, we're demanding that evacuees get allowed in much more numbers than they are allowed already. And just to highlight the double standards, you know, they have a plaque in commemoration in the spirit of Never Again Ever, mm-hmm. sorry, a statue. But look what they're doing now in terms of how few people they're allowing in. I mean, I've been seeing on the ground, I've been spending a lot of time in Berlin recently because I've been trying to hide away, been volunteering at the central stations and just been seeing with my own eyes, it's not perfect, but Germany's response to allowing migrants and people fleeing war in, which is so much more than what Britain is doing, which Brexit hostile environment Britain is doing, and it's really acute. And so we have to step up even more because of this government's atrocious response. And one other thought is, like, to be honest with you, I don't actually know the situation on the ground prior to the war in Ukraine when it comes to HIV access, but I do know the situation a bit in Russia because I went there a couple of years back on an LGBT and HIV solidarity delegation. And, you know, with the gay propaganda law in Russia, which is inspired by Britain's Thatcher's Section 28,
yeah.
You know, HIV and AIDS diagnosis is going through the roof because of the stigma and the oppression and the lack of HIV healthcare, partly very much in relation to institutionalized homophobia. So I'm always trying to remember not to forget our HIV community in Russia as well.
Yeah.
I've actually got more, I don't know anyone in Ukraine, I've got much more friends in Russia, we're part of amazing groups like the Moscow LGBT Center and other HIV activists. And it's, for me, it's so important not to isolate and forget our friends in Russia, because they're not in support of what's going on either. So really, we should be ramping up our bucket collection to Russia as well.
Yeah, definitely, Dan. And it's actually interesting that you talk about Russia, because we have spoken about Russia on the show before, and we are really keen to get somebody from Russia to talk to us at some point. So maybe we'll be able to.
I've got some good friends. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll be able to sort something out about that. But thank you, Dan, for letting us know about what you're doing. Just run over the details just one more time, just if there's anybody that missed them, just where the buckets are and how long and what you're looking for.
Okay, sure. It's the London LGBT Community Centre is right next to Blackfriars Station on the South Bank of the Thames. I think it's number 62 Hopkins Street, but you won't miss it. It's right next to the Blackfriars Station on the South Bank. They're open from Wednesdays to Sundays, 11 in the morning till 8 in the evening every day. There's a bucket on the front desk collecting antiretrovirals and PrEP to send to our HIV community in Ukraine and in Poland, and we should expand that to Russia as well. Also, our email at ACTUP is actuplondonhealthcareforall@gmail.com. And the collection is going to be going till at least March the 25th.
Brilliant, Dan. Thank you so much for coming on the show and
thank you. And
doing what you continue to do. And I'll speak to you later, okay?
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
Bye.
That was amazing. Yeah, it's good. It's good to have these projects, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you hope that this will lead to other things being done. You know, at the moment it's HIV medication and PrEP. Mm-hmm. But you hope that it opens a door for other things, you know. So yeah.
Did you say that it goes on the 25th of March, and it, but is it going to do ones later? You mentioned that.
Yeah. So hopefully there's going to be they're going to do another one, and just because, as Dan said, you know, they don't know how long this is going to go on for. So anybody that has medications that maybe they're not using, or that they are out of date or anything like that, you know, they can still be used, by our brothers and sisters that have HIV. That really are scared for their future, you know, and want to stay healthy, you know. So it's really important, really important.
And can I just add on that, Steve? That, and it's, you know, when we're thinking about medications for people living with HIV in Ukraine, we're looking at one of the highest prevalence of children living with HIV in Ukraine. Let's hope we can get those medications to everybody that needs them.
There's also, I saw this on Facebook, there's a Fight for Ukraine 100% Life. So that's the forming Ukrainian network of people living with HIV and AIDS.
Right.
And that gives you lots of information, updated information on if you're HIV or in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So that is, if you go on Facebook and it's at 100, which is the numbers 100, mm-hmm. percent life, fight for life, or one word. So, so I'll say that again, at 100% life, fight for life. And that gets you onto the Facebook page.
Right.
Great.
And you'll be able to see what's happening there. I think they update it all the time. So,
mm-hmm.
So should we have some community news?
Shall we?
I'm afraid
what's going on?
Yeah, you tell us, Josh.
Good luck, I'm just going to go over what's some of the services in Brighton, I think, because we haven't done that for a while. Have you heard of SWOP Sussex? SWOP.
Yes,
so,
yes, I have.
So
yes.
Sex Worker Outreach Project, and that's a free and confidential and trans-inclusive service for women who work in the sex industry in Sussex.
Mm-hmm.
Now, their aim is to promote and improve the safety, health and well-being of women who work in the sex industry. So if you want to contact them, it's 01273 675526. Speak to Mel, 07801 376 158. And that's Monday to Friday. go on the website, which is oasisproject.org.uk/services/swap, which is SWOP. Also, sexual health matters. So if you're thinking of getting a test for HIV or STIs in Brighton, here are some of the ways that you can go about it. So there's the FAST test, which is at the Terence Higgins Trust, and that's a walk-in finger prick service. It's usually results, you can get the results in 15 minutes. That's the Terence Higgins Trust in Ship Street. Call them on all. You have to book times now, I think, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's 01273 764 200, or go to their website, which is thd.org.uk/Brighton. There's also Shack, which has got quite a few venues around town, isn't there? Go to their website, which is brightonsexualhealth.com, and that'll give you the different places you can go to, or call them on 01273 523 388. There's Clinic T. That's a monthly service for anyone who identifies as trans, non-binary or gender variant. You call 01273 523388 or go to brightonsexualhealth.com/service/clinict. And then there's All Sorts, which is provided by Terence Higgins Trust. That's a fast test service for anyone who's LGBTU under 26. And that's at 69 Ship Street. You can call them for information, 01273 721 211. Or again, some home testing. Get a free home sampling kit from test.hiv or a low-cost home testing kit from vending machines in Brighton. And that's with Martin Fisher. So that's martinfisherfoundation.org. Or you can contact THD Direct, which is 0808 802 1221. Just good to get that out, really, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
So I think it's just interesting because we forget. Well, we don't forget, but we can just.
Well, and it's just reiterating the massive support that is out there for people, and it needs to be reminded. Just, you know, there is stuff. There's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's important to get that information out.
Yeah. There's a little bit more. Sorry, I'm just going to go through some services. Mm-hmm. So we've got Lunch Positive, which is on tomorrow, Friday. And that's a lunch club for people living with HIV. So you can meet, make friends, find peer support in a safe place. And that's every Friday from 12 till 2:30. And that's at the Community Room, Dorset Gardens Methodist Church in Dorset Gardens in Brighton. It's usually £1.50 for lunch. So you can go on their website, which is lunchpositive.org. Or give, probably it's Gary actually, on a call on 07846 464 384. Also Clinic M, which is at the Lawson Unit, or the Claude Nicholls Centre, sorry. That's free confidential testing and treatment for STIs, including HIV, plus hepatitis A and B vaccinations. And that's on Wednesdays, and that's for men, between 5 and 8pm at the Claude Nicholls Centre. Sussex County Hospital. Shall I carry on?
Could I just mention one, Josh?
Yes.
There's the monthly women's group at the Sussex Beacon. And you can, you know, they provide childcare, you can have pre-lunch, and they have some really, I mean, I've done talks up there with the ladies, and it's, you know, if you're a woman or identifies as a woman, you can attend these sessions and just contact the Sussex Beacon. So easy, just go onto their website and tell you, you know, they have an agenda of the month. So that's a monthly meeting that's held at the Sussex Beacon in Brighton.
Great.
And there's you've got your walk soon, don't
you? Oh, I have. Oh, I'm walking. I'm practicing.
You're sashaying
away.
Yeah. Did I tell you I'm dressing up as a bee?
You did.
Are you sure?
I am. Hang on.
Here we go.
We're getting to see the bee outfit.
Thank God you can't see listeners what Sue's doing.
It's probably just as well.
Yeah, no, that's happening in Brighton.
When is that?
The third of April in Brighton. Third of April. Yeah, 3rd of April in Brighton, Sunday.
It's coming up, that, isn't it?
I know that, yes, I know. That's why I've started walking already to get ready. So,
is that what you're doing?
Yeah, that's me walk for the day.
To the back of the room and back.
But yes, that's the local Brighton one that's happening. Come along to support us. I know we'll no doubt give it a mention in the next couple of weeks. But we have got ones going on in London and Glasgow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I think it's
all good stuff, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, it brings you together, you know, community and, you know, it's just coming together, really, but for good causes, you know. We do some amazing things like a lot of the charities do within Brighton and throughout areas. You know, we do some amazing counselling services at the Town Higgins Trust that goes towards helping and supporting people living with HIV and also education as well. You know, we want the next generation to be more educated, don't we? You know, our kids' kids and our families' kids and what have you, you know, we want them to be educated and unfortunately, that costs money to get people trained up to make sure that we have in the future a stigma-free HIV society, like it should be. So, but yes.
Well, we won't have to talk about it either. That'd be, you know, that would be nice. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? We do these shows every week because it's important to talk about it.
Exactly.
Because the stigma's still out there. And And as we get older as well, I think that's something I was thinking. We're getting older, aren't we? So we're living longer. And
we are.
That's another way of supporting.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to say about the, if you want to contact the show, it's hiv@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. We also have a Twitter and a Facebook, which is @HIV_hour. And we do podcasts, which goes out every time we've done, usually fortnightly, which you can get on Spotify, iTunes, Diva. Just type in HIV Hour. So we always want people to come on the show or ideas or anything.
Yeah, we always want to hear people's stories, don't we?
Yes.
It's important.
Well, there you go.
It's another one.
Another one under the... Under the bed, I don't know.
In the bag.
Well, oh, dear. Well, take care, everyone, and keep safe.
Yes, everybody do so. Enjoy the nice weather whilst we've got it. Enjoy.
Yes. Well, spring is springing.
Spring is certainly springing,
yes. It's spring
in the spring,
yes. I've been sprung.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Take care, everybody.
See you later.
Take care.
Bye.
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 HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.